You're listening to the Peak Humans Podcast, the show dedicated to helping you unlock your full potential and reach the heights of human excellence. I'm your host, Naeem Mahmood, world-class peak performance coach and former top national speaker for Tony Robbins. And I'm thrilled to have you join us on this journey of exploration and transformation. Here at the Peak Humans Podcast, we uncover the secrets of peak performance. We're on a mission to bring you world-class insights, tools, and strategies that will empower you to elevate your life, your work, and everything in between. Today's show is proudly sponsored by AG1. A common thread among peak performers is their dedication to maintaining peak physical condition, which begins with optimizing overall well-being. Many of these high performers also incorporate AG1 into their daily routines, and I'm an enthusiastic advocate of this practice. Each daily serving of AG1 equips me for success by providing 75 high-quality ingredients that supply essential daily nutrients while boosting energy, enhancing focus, increasing strength, and promoting mental clarity. It's a small daily habit that yields significant advantages, benefiting virtually everyone in their pursuit of good health. If a comprehensive solution is what you need from your supplement routine, then try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Tap my link down below or go to drinkag1.com/Naeem. That's drinkag1.com/Naeem. Check it out. Now, let's unlock the peak human's mindset and dive into this episode where greatness meets insight. Let the game begin. Today, I'm thrilled to introduce our special guest and a good friend, Jeff Benton. Jeff is the founder and CEO of Paragon Performance Evolution. Jeff's expertise in peak performance training spans across various domains, from Fortune 500 companies to special forces units, professional athletes, and beyond. At Paragon, Jeff's mission is to elevate individuals and organizations to new heights through customized leadership and high performance programs. By fostering coherence and self-awareness, Jeff empowers his clients to optimize their mental and physiological functions, leading to greater clarity, presence, and overall success. Jeff, welcome to the Peak Humans Podcast. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's good to see you, brother. It's great to be here.
You too. I'm excited to have you on the show. I've been waiting for this for a few months. The genesis of this came when we were playing pickleball in Los Angeles. We won't get into the details of what happened.
Wasn't ready.
But now you're done. I do remember your killer slice serve, which was getting on the court. But yeah, I'm happy to have you on the show, and I love all the work you're doing in the world of Paragon Performance, and you're definitely a peak performer in my book, and you are a peak performer for peak performers. So, but why don't we start with, I know you have a really awesome story, and I know your dad did some amazing work, and you also have a pretty powerful story that happened with your mom as well. So do you want to kick it off with your story a little bit?
Yeah, you know, I was always interested in performance really from a couple different levels. One is my dad had one of the biggest sports marketing companies in the world. And at one point they represented Michael Jordan and Jimmy Connors. They had hundreds of athletes, and you as a D1 basketball player, they got all the Georgetown guys when John Thompson was there, all the North Carolina guys when Dean Smith was there. So, you know, just with that exposure with my dad, I was always fascinated at what made somebody the best at what they did. And so I got to really see that firsthand. And, you know, I was a decent athlete growing up, and, you know, we always go back and God, like, if I knew what I knew now, what could have happened? But I would say that was really the first entree into performance and really like being intrigued of why is this guy the best, right? Or having friends that were incredibly talented athletes, but they felt they were as good as, you know, the top players in the world, but somehow they weren't performing on the big stage. But But I think really the eye opener around performance came through a tragedy that ended up being a blessing. And when I got out of college, I got into the sports entertainment world, and I was fortunate to have these great jobs early on in sports entertainment. And what I found was every time I got promoted, the imposter syndrome kept growing and growing. And I was really being run by fear, anxiety, anger, right? And this imposter syndrome. And so I would literally show up for the week, but over the weekend, I would recover, right? And it was almost like I was trying to be something that I wasn't. And as the low point, my mother committed suicide, and I hit rock bottom, and I just finally could not keep up the facade anymore. And so I realized I needed help. And I mean, I think I describe it as a spiritual journey, but really, I just didn't want to feel the way I was feeling anymore. And so, through a friend of mine, he actually started to share some tools and techniques to be able to self-regulate. And again, I had nothing to lose, so I started to do them every day. And I remember waking up probably 3 to 6 months after doing these techniques. And it was the first time I'd ever felt really present, felt some joy, and really felt deep gratitude. And I just remember thinking, if I could go from totally disconnected to feeling this gratitude, this joy, right? This presence, anybody could. And a lot of it, and I don't know if you experienced this, but I grew up in a kind of a male toxic environment. There was a lot of fighting. Emotions weren't a good thing. And I realized I wouldn't allow for myself to feel that joy, that gratitude, that presence. So that was a big part of it. And, I think one is I felt that if I would have felt those emotions, those positive emotions, I would have been vulnerable, right? Growing up in, pretty, sometimes violent, adversive. And two, when you grow up that way, you feel like you don't deserve it, right? And so you really don't embrace it. And so I would say that experience, and also I went much deeper into sort of the spiritual journey once I got self-regulated. And I got really interested in Buddhism, the Vedic scriptures, a lot of the Egyptian, like the Hermetica, a lot of the Egyptian text. What else? Kabbalah. And it really resonated more than anything. Like all of the spiritual teachings from thousands of years ago, like when I read it, I would just light up. And so I realized a lot of people ask me, where's been the biggest growth, right? For professionally and personally. And I've taken business seminars and I've done a lot of that. But I feel like every time I focused on my own sort of state of being and spirituality, that made the biggest jumps because so much of it was focused on the eternal journey, right? To know thyself. And I was so focused on the external world for so long that once I actually went internal and started to sort of acknowledge things that I didn't for a long time through shadow work and all this, and I started to have that growth and really prioritize the internal state of being, my external environment started changing. And it was really fascinating, right? And then I really got into quantum physics and a lot of those other things, but I really started to connect that our thoughts, our emotions, all of this has energy. And I love that quantum physics can now explain it, right? And even through quantum entanglement. And so, the shift of me going from shutdown, right, and really living this facade, just trying to show up a certain way to the external world, to then going more external focused, again, I realized I could go from there to make that shift. Anybody could. And it was really one of the motivations to start Paragon, because I knew if leaders could relate to themselves differently, then they would relate to their teams, their families, their organizations, their communities, and even humanity differently. And they'd start to make better decisions. And I really, there was an intentional focus to start with corporations, because the power shift, right? Like, companies have a lot of the power now, right? They're tend to be the biggest influencers with media, politics, healthcare, the environment, education. So again, it was like, where can we focus to make the greatest impact? And so again, that's why, we started with the corporations, and I kind of look and smell like the corporate guy, so I was safe. And so that was really an inspiration to start that.
Wow, that's incredible. And there's a lot of great gems that you dropped in there. One at the very beginning, and then we'll follow the thread. Hopefully, we'll miss some of it. But I love that it sounds like you kind of combined that. Growing up, watching your dad with all these pro athletes representing them, and you're the question you said you thought about was what makes somebody the best at what they did, which is such a cool question to me. I love that too. I'm an athlete. I'm always trying to go to the next level. And then it sounds like divine intervention came too for you to kind of bring in that spiritual side as well. So it sounds like you're bringing both of those together now for your clients that you work with for Paragon. Yeah.
Very much. It's a really good point, because I was friends with a lot of these pro athletes, right?
Yeah.
And I realized, like, we were so fascinated by them. And they had the ability to perform at the highest level, right? And with
Yep.
whatever they did. But a lot of times they weren't happy,
Yeah.
right? And we see it with CEOs also, right? Like, because one is, a lot of times, it's a CEO, professional athlete, musician. They are so focused on their trade and being the best at what they do, their profession, that the emotional, spiritual piece of it, right, gets ignored.
Yep.
And at some point, I realized, again, with friends that were CEOs, professional athletes, it caught up to them. Right? Because they didn't have that internal sort of happiness and resolve. And at some point, there's not enough money in the world or success that can fill that void, right? It's the cliche, but it's so true. And so when I went on my own journey and I went more internal, and I actually started to experience this gratitude, this joy, this presence, it was like magic. And ironically, it's the ultimate high performance tool also, right? And
Yeah.
we talk about the science, like, when we can get out of that stress response and we can get into this more coherent state, it literally changes our key brain functions, right? It changes the chemicals we produce. And so I've worked with athletes that they were running on anger and fear, and they were at the highest levels. And I was like, okay, if we get this person really connected to themselves, and are they still going to be able to perform at the highest level? And we have seen it over and over and over, that as they make the shifts, it actually takes them to entirely new levels, right?
Yep.
And I think that was my own story, because my whole, with sports, playing basketball, rugby, lacrosse, soccer, tennis, I was always driven on the anger, right? And being the underdog, right? And so I didn't know any other way. And so that's what helped create that perception of, like, if that anger goes away, am I still going to be able to perform on the sports field?
Yep. That's so cool. I love how you help leaders relate to themselves differently, like you said. And it starts, like you said
Absolutely.
too, like from the inside out. So that's so cool. And it the wild part is it doesn't take more effort. It actually takes less effort because you make these internal shifts, and it's such a massive exponential shift in the external world too.
Yeah.
Love that you're focused on the fuel that people use to that motivates them. And most people think sometimes they have fuel of anger or not good enough or showing people what up that they're great, but and they think they can't do it without that. So what was it like for you? Like, what's your new fuel now? What would you say? If it was anger before, what's your new emotion and drive?
It's such a, it's definitely, meditation has really allowed for me to quiet my mind
Yeah.
more, feel that present state. And my fuel is gratitude.
Yeah.
It is like a superpower.
Yep.
And it really allows for us to access different parts of our brain and produce these amazing chemicals from DHEA to others. And I just heard that. I think Jimmy Carter and Desmond Tutu had an institute that were studying the power of gratitude. And again, for me, it took me a long time to be able to create that emotion. But I was fascinated because when I was reading about these different groups doing superhuman things,
Yep.
gratitude is one of the key drivers. And you and I talked about it, but Harvard, I think it was Harvard Medical School in the 80s. Went and studied the Tibetan monks. And they were able to do these like superhuman things like draw dry wet towels on their bodies in freezing weather. And also they were producing brain waves that they'd never seen, right? These gamma brain waves. And so they had Harvard Medical School and others had studied a lot of these meditators, but they had never seen these brain waves. And they were like, what are you doing differently? And they would do these compassion and gratitude meditations. So there's like this whole other level we can go to when we go from ourselves to actually expressing and sharing gratitude for another person. It like creates this whole different level of coherence within us. And I find it fascinating because I actually see it. We do a lot of work with the HeartMath Institute, and they are an amazing organization. They've been around for 40 years. It's all based on peer-reviewed research. And they work with Harvard and Stanford and Department of Defense and others. And have you ever tried one of their inner balances where it measures your level of coherence?
I've never done it, no, not formally with that. I've done some HeartMath meditations, but I haven't had it measured on me, no.
So they have this device that basically takes your HRV, your heart rate variability,
Yeah.
converts it into a coherence score. And when I was talking to some of the gurus at HeartMath who are doing amazing things, so you can sort of self-regulate and you can get into a certain state and you'll reach a certain level of coherence on the app. But to get to the next level, you have to have the gratitude and actually create those emotions of when you're expressing that gratitude and thanks to others. And then that takes your score to another level. And I'm not sure they publicize that, but it's quite wild. It's really interesting. So the gratitude, again, it's just, a couple things. One, it creates these magical chemicals in our body, right, that literally heal the body, optimize key brain centers. And two, like when we're in gratitude, it's really hard to be angry or any other state, right?
Yep.
And every time you get into that gratitude, you start to create new neural networks that allow for you to keep reproducing it. So we always tell our clients, like, took me a long time to get there, but every time you make the attempt, you can start to, you start to build those new neural networks a little bit more to be able to experience it. And, we work with, if it's SWAT teams, Navy SEALs, a lot of these individuals that have really shut off from emotions because they're dealing in
Yeah.
such stressful situations. And so a lot of times what we tell them is, hey, it might not even be something specific to your life right now, but it could be around honor, courage, bravery, like something beyond yourself, just to start to get the chemicals flowing in a way you want.
That's amazing. And so
Yeah.
and what was gonna oh, I was gonna say, well, just being around you and you feel it also, you could feel the difference, right? When somebody's in a state of gratitude, it's much more joyful to be around that person, right? So I always, whenever I'm around you in person, and even through the virtual ether world, I could feel the gratitude energy radiating from you. So it's really cool and it's really nice.
Thank you.
What would you say is so, and I know this is a bit, you can't answer this in one question, but I'm curious, like, for leaders that are listening to this, entrepreneurs, executives of companies, athletes, whatever they might be doing in this world, how do you help leaders relate to themselves differently? And again, I know it's
Yeah.
like a loaded question, but like, what are some thoughts or insights or tips on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we at Paragon, we have this process of evolution, right? That we take leadership teams through, or new hires, or SWAT teams, global first ladies. And it goes from self-evolution to team evolution to community evolution. And so before, we keep revising it as we have our learnings, but we used to do a lot of like team type stuff, and we'd go in, everybody would feel excited, everybody was committed, and then the next day, everybody would go back to their same baselines, right? And so we've changed the process of how we work with teams, and that first part is what we call self-evolution. And number one thing is really helping each member of a team own their own potential and take responsibility for their personal growth. And the biggest things around this are helping them to learn how to self-regulate emotions, have greater awareness of their thoughts and emotions, and the ability to get into this coherent state. And really, for a lot of them, it's teaching them how to get out of a stress response into this coherent state. And we're able to teach them this where they can do it in real time, within minutes, and with their eyes open. So that is the first piece, because if somebody is in a stress response, they're already limited in their capacity to problem solve, communicate, think clearly, and have empathy and see somebody else's point of view, right? And so as a leader, if we don't have that ability, then we are really minimized, right? And so even when our partners, or we work with the United Nations, the G20, Global First Ladies Alliance, one of the first things we say is like, if we want to create equality and we want to bring people together, it's great to do legislation and networking and community events, but we believe the number one thing is to really teach somebody how to get out of this stress response into a coherent state, because they literally see the world differently. And we've worked with all types of groups with very specific views. And when we can get them into a coherent state, they can literally see the world differently and they get into their hearts. And it is so brilliant and it's so uplifting. And another big piece of the self-evolution is the awareness of thoughts and emotions, right? It seems so simple, but we always say it's as simple and as hard as this, right? Because we love to quote, we've got 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day. 90% are the same as the day before. 70 to 80% are negative or not helpful. And then on top of that, 95% of our thoughts are being run by the subconscious. So if we're not aware of our thoughts and our emotions, then our behaviors become automatic, right? And so our conscious mind cannot compete, right, against the unconscious. But when we talk about this path of self-mastery, self-evolution, the most important thing is having awareness of those thoughts and emotions, and then having tools and techniques to be able to shift into a different, more optimal state. Now, the beautiful thing is when we work with teams and individuals, we create tons of exercises that create awareness around the thoughts and emotions. Because when you can actually start to identify your patterns and you can consciously set intentions to choose different outcomes, every time you do it, you set new neural networks that allow for new behaviors, right? New baselines and new habits. So that's the first thing, right? And so as each individual really takes ownership and responsibility of this, Then when they come together as a team, then we can start to do things around trust, safety, vulnerability, communication. And when teams can really get authentic, that's when we can bend time and the miraculous can happen, right? And sometimes we have clients come in and say, "Can you just talk to us about trust?" And I'm like, "Sure, but trust doesn't happen by talking about it, right?" What we have found, the only way trust is built is when you get a team together and each individual shows a certain level of authenticity and vulnerability. Until then, it doesn't work, right? And we've been fortunate to work with several groups that, for years, they were in a tough sort of environment, a tough culture, a lot of PTSD. And within 3 to 6 months, we can really shift it. And again, it's really setting a safe environment. It's showing them tools and techniques where they feel it immediately, because that creates credibility. And it's really setting an environment where they're having fun and they're able to be vulnerable and authentic. And also, we always incorporate expressing gratitude for those others you're working with, because our brain is wired for survival, right? It's just how we've, gotten away from the saber-toothed tiger, right, for thousands of years. And so what happens is, when we're under stress, even as coworkers or senior teams, you start to look at everybody else as a threat, right? And then you show up in a suboptimal and biased way. But when you can get a team together over and over, you have the trust, the vulnerability, and also they're expressing gratitude for each other, starts to create new neural networks and new associations of how you interact with those people. And what we have heard is, after 3 to 6 months of this, teams actually start to lean into each other during stressful times versus going to their silos, right? And really protecting their turf.
I love that. That's amazing. You're creating superhumans.
Definitely. We all are, like, we all have that capacity.
Two things that, well, there's a lot of things, but the two things I'll bring up was it does, like you said, it starts with, if you're in a stress state and like a survival mode state, you're not going to be able to perform well, right? Like, let alone trust somebody and be trusting to somebody. And that's the thing that, working with Tony Robbins, it always starts with state, right? If you're in the right state, you could do anything. If you're not in a peak state, you're gonna, even if you know the answer, you're not gonna perform well. So I love that you're training people on how to do that. And it's literally giving people superpowers. I didn't know that was possible. And then when I did, I'm like, this is incredible. It's like, I wish everybody could be taught this in school. And then the other thing that you just said was, oh, that was great. The I actually did this today on with my coach on our coaching call. One is, he had me looking in myself in the phone, and he said, what, ask yourself the question, what do I appreciate about myself? So first, like, for myself, and then also I love how you do it to other people, like looking at the person and like extending gratitude and appreciation towards the other people. It's amazing.
I love that. Well, it makes me think about, once we get to know a team well, we do this exercise where they write down all the negative things they say to themselves, right? And so that we say things to ourselves we never say to anybody, none of our friends, family, even our enemies, right? So what we do is, we have them write down the list, and then they pair up. And they have to read those to their partner as if they're saying it to their partner. And it's really powerful. Most of the time it goes, most of the time. It's really powerful, because if you're not going to say it to somebody else, when you start to create that awareness, you're like, why would I even say this to me? You know what I mean? Like, and so anything to keep shifting the behavior. But yeah, it's pretty powerful.
That's incredible. So and I also know you do, similar to what we were talking about before, like, you work with high performers, and you also have a healing group, a global healing group that focuses on the, you do the heart coherence with them, right? And you do it with both, right? You do it with both groups of people, but I'm curious, what have you noticed in terms of the changes and the effectiveness, and how do those worlds go together?
Yeah, that's okay. That's a great question. So with Paragon, it's really high performance, leadership, resiliency, and those are acceptable words, right? It's the Trojan horse to help increase consciousness and awareness for leaders. And then, yeah, I have this separate initiative called Transformational Healing Alliance. And we started it when the pandemic happened. And we realized a lot of our global community was in fear, right? It felt like the end of the world, right? For some people. And they really felt like they couldn't see a path forward. So basically, we hosted a 30-minute call every day, and I teach people how to get in coherence. We do a technique, and then we just have sharing. And then we would send love, healing energy to somebody that needed it. A lot of times it was somebody with, chronic pain, autoimmune disease. They could have been in the ER and other things. And it was wild because we kept seeing all these, people healing themselves after they were a part of our virtual sessions. And it just kept building momentum, momentum. And there's a gentleman that is really doing good work in the world. He's funding research around healing beyond traditional means. And he heard about our group through my partner, Oksana. And so now he's funding research. So we have a clinical study, and every other Thursday we will have somebody with chronic pain be a part of our group. And it's just been incredible. We've had professional athletes go through it that had chronic pain for years, no chronic pain, and a lot of other stories. And people ask me, like, what's happening? And I say, I have no idea, right? Like, I look at us as basically a community that are coming together, teach people how to get in coherence, group coherence, and then send somebody love. Like, that's the focus, and that is such a healing piece. And the people on the call that are a part of sending the love are receiving huge healings in their own life. And I'm not really tied to the outcome, right? Like, if we could create communities of this globally, I've seen how it just people that were struggling before the pandemic started to thrive during it with the group. And yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it's just 20, 30 people showing up for a stranger and sending him love. That's really powerful. And then sometimes there is something that's happening, like in a non-linear way. That's we can't explain, but whatever it is, it's really just based in love and support of each other. And it's interesting. We're going to be featured in a documentary. It's a group that won an Academy Award for their last documentary, and so it'll be interesting. It's going to be a four-part series, probably on Netflix, Amazon, some of the other streaming platforms. And it should be out in about a year from now. So I'll keep you updated on that.
That's exciting. That's really cool. Amazing. And I've been on a couple of those group calls, and they are incredible. Just being in that frequency and feeling
Yeah.
the gratitude. And I agree, it's beyond explanation, but it's incredible, and that you've been doing it so long for everybody, and that just the experience is great. You
Yeah,
guys were
thank you.
also you were also in a Forbes article. And what was the title of that again? I can't remember what it was about. What did they say in the Forbes article?
Oh God, I think it was like, let's see. Honestly, it was like the seven states of
Oh,
high
yeah.
performance leaders or something like that. I should know that.
And what'd you think of
Yeah.
the, go ahead. What'd you think of the write-up?
Well, yeah, I thought it was great. We were very fortunate to be in Forbes. It's a very, I mean, I have a lot of respect, so it was great. But we wrote a follow-up article to it to our community, and we kind of had a play on words of like what Forbes didn't mention is the number one thing. And it's really like what we've talked about, like you could be creativity, innovation, purpose-driven leadership. You know, there was seven kind of traits and states that were mentioned. But
Yep.
again, we unless a leader knows how to self-regulate their own emotions and have that awareness, all those other traits, they can't really fully show up and exhibit and embody them. And
Yep.
so that's why we always start with the self-evolution and self-mastery as
Yep.
the first piece of any of our programs.
Yep. I agree. It's and I love how you're constantly like filtering and like finding if there's something you said before, right? You're in real time. And again, when I worked with Tony, he's got his process, but then he discovers a new thing. He's like, oh, like this is actually here now. So, and syntax is
Yeah.
so important. You could have the right ingredients, but if it's in the wrong order, it's up to the number won't dial or the lock won't open.
Exactly. And exactly. And you and Tony have been a huge inspiration because we are constantly like honing what we teach, but we're always adding new things, right? I know a lot of folks in this space kind of have their thing and they do it, but we would blow up everything if you know, and learn from you if that is the most effective thing in making change.
Right.
So you and Tony have been a huge inspiration for that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you do the same process that I do, that Tony does. You love to learn from like all the different sources, and you put it together, and you're on a hunt for what makes people the best at what they do, right? What's the best thing that we can create and serve and make transformation in the world. So I think that says a lot about you and how you are building out Paragon.
Absolutely. Like, you know, with you've been a big influence, and Tony, HeartMath Institute,
Yeah.
neuroscience, Dr. Joe Dispenza. And we actually learn a lot from our clients also. You know,
Yeah.
we 2-year program with Chicago Youth Centers, and they're in Southside Chicago doing amazing work. We actually learned this whole circle keeping process that's been around for many years, really, with the Native American traditions, where you create groups, it creates a safe space, you know, and we've incorporated some of the coherent stuff. And now we're actually taking that to our clients also. So we always love learning new things.
I love that. That's amazing. I have a fun question for you.
Yes.
So, if you could write anything on a billboard in LA, wherever, what would it be?
Such a good question. Know thyself.
Yes. I love that. That's like a
Ah,
big
there's so
Tony thing.
many. There's so many. Like, there's so much to say. But
Yep.
it's like, what would have the biggest impact, right? Like, it's
Yeah.
always nice, you know, around love. But when people are in a tough place, it's like, what are those words that actually would open up their eyes, you know,
Yep.
open up their hearts?
Yep.
Honestly, what I would do is I would put a number, our website for them to join our weekly calls so they
Yeah.
could experience in a short time going from a stress response to that more coherent state and having a community that's going through this thing called life also, all supporting each other. Because words are great, but when you actually can have that real life experience, that's the greatest evidence, right? And
Yep.
so yeah, I would have the Zoom link and say, you know, change your life, you know, get on the Zoom.
I love that. And that was in the back of my mind actually during this conversation. Is there a way we could maybe drop a link or something that people can, if they want to join one of the calls, they can reach out to you and
Definitely.
join?
Absolutely. I will definitely share that.
Sweet. Amazing. I love
Yeah.
that though. Know thyself. I remember when in Greek, it's like, I can't pronounce it properly, right? But it's like nothi seiton, like Nothi, and then Seiotan. Like that's like the Latin or Greek way of saying
Yeah.
know thyself. So I'm 100% spot on with you on that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. You know in Sanskrit? I don't.
In Sanskrit? No, I don't know. The
Yeah.
last question I want to ask you, though, before we start to sign off is, and we touched on it in the beginning, but it's a challenge for a lot of people, but men, I'd say probably more than women, where just getting in touch with their emotions, expressing their emotions. And I know for you, again, you grew up in an environment where it wasn't like something you do, right? Like you don't share your emotions as much. So what would you say to not even just a man, just somebody listening that wants to maybe
Yeah.
do a better job at that and how to go about doing that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. What I've learned is emotions are superpowers,
Yeah.
right? And I mean, one is we can try to repress our emotions, but they're going to come out in other ways, right? And they're going to be harmful at an emotional, mental, spiritual, physical level. So as we start to embrace our emotions and feel them, my belief is as we can feel the pain, it also allows for us to feel the love, the gratitude, and the joy more.
Yep.
And, you know, I think therapy is a really good thing. I have recently been doing internal family systems.
Yep.
Our old brother Nick, Dr.
Nick,
Nick
yep.
Bruce,
Dr. Bruce.
is a master.
Shout out to Nick. I had him on the well, he was on the podcast maybe a year ago now.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Well, he wouldn't take me. He knows too much, but he recommended an amazing doctor, Dr. Catherine, and it's been good. It's been really good, like to have somebody create that safe environment, love, but to go deep.
Yeah.
And it's really opened me up. And my team and my friends joke that they want to know when I'm doing it because the next day I speak my truth and I'm more feisty.
Yeah.
And so they've asked if, you know, my team's asked if I could do the sessions on Friday. So they have the week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think anything you can do, and obviously we're all at different degrees of, you know, our ability to feel emotions and feel comfortable with it. I think it's really helpful to have you know, an expert. And just start to practice expressing yourself, right? I think I was such a harmony person for so long.
Yeah.
And I realize every time I'm committed to even going more into my authenticity and vulnerability and speaking my truth to somebody, I can do it in a loving way now. And it deepens the relationship with that person,
Yep.
right? For us to be able to express. And, you know, we have certain friends, like a lot of friends, like Britton, who is very direct, and it feels like almost like one of the highest forms of love, right? When somebody actually tells you the truth. And so I'm so deeply grateful for her and for our community that really embodies and exhibits that, because that's been a huge learning for me, because I was really taught to not express emotions because it kept safety for
Yep.
me and others,
Yep.
but that was frozen in time. And now I'm in a different place. And now I want to experience the richness of life and love and these different feelings. And so, yeah, it's been a process, but it's worth it.
It is. I agree. So that was incredible, Jeff. We're going to drop the links for your group in the description. And also, how else can people, if they want to connect with Paragon or connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, I think just send me an email if you're interested in being a part of our weekly group. It's jeff@performanceparagon.com. So jeff@performanceparagon.com. And we'd love to have you as a part of our group.
I love that. Awesome. And the website is, oh yeah, you just said it, performanceparagon.com.
Yeah.
Amazing. Cool. Jeff, this was
Yeah.
incredible. I had so much fun chatting with you and sharing it with the world.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate the work you're doing in the
Oh,
world.
absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate your support and being on the us aligned on our paths. I'm
Yeah.
going to let you close us down with a final message to the audience. What are your final departing words?
My final words are just get relaxed. and just play around with 5 seconds breathing in and out, and just put your attention in the area of the heart, right? And close your eyes and just count to five on your inhales and count to five on your exhales. Again, with your attention on the area of the heart. And just do that for 10 breaths. And just see how you feel after. Because we've talked about how you can shift from a stress response to this more coherent state, and you're in a more optimal state. So do that and just see how you feel and see how you experience the world from that place. And you can do this 20 seconds, 30 seconds at a time throughout the day, and it changes your state of being and how you relate with the world.
Beautiful. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. If you found value in the show, please share it and take a minute to leave a review in Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot and helps the podcast grow and reach more people just like you. Don't miss out on our exclusive content. Subscribe to our newsletter for cutting-edge insights, proven tools, and strategies customized for peak performance. Secure your free access with a simple click on the link below. It's been a pleasure to have you with us at the Peak Humans Podcast. Draw upon your untapped potential, aim for the highest of your dreams, and stride confidently towards your magnificence. Until our paths cross again, continue to elevate Peak Humans. Stay focused, stay hungry, and may each shot you take bring you closer to greatness. Remember, every game is a chance to rise above.